This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. It's been a long week. So as we do every Friday, we're gathered a group of smart people to help us kick back, unwind, and think about what the heck happened this week.
I'm always hungry. Now make with the pizza, fatso.
Fox News announced that Bill O'Reilly has been fired. It's not likely that any self-respecting network will ever hire him. Then CNN said, welcome aboard.
Oh, ladies, the installation of a toilet's a very delicate procedure. You gotta go to school. You gotta be a trained technician. You gotta be a man, for God's sakes.
Joining us in the break room this week, Robbie Medwed, Atlanta-based LGBT educator and activist, Chuck Reese, editor of The Bitter Southerner, and Sumaya Khalifa, executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday.
Welcome to our spring fun drive. So let's start with pizza. Pizza stores really do not want to show their calories on their menus. They have asked the FDA to delay the new rule that requires them to do that.
Pizza! Pizza, pizza, go in tummy, me so hungry.
Pizza guy was super creepy.
So, okay, do any of you know how many calories are in a slice of pepperoni pizza?
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Nope, and I don't want to know either.
No desire.
That's, I mean, if you're going to put something in your mouth that's made up primarily of dough and cheese and cured meats, you're not worried about the calories anyway.
Is there anyone in the world who thinks that pizza is a health food? I mean, we know what we're getting into with that one.
Right? And we really, actually, this is a place where we don't need the government's help.
In the interest of pushback, research has shown that even with unhealthy foods, when you see the calorie total, it tends to make people eat less.
Who cares about that? I was at the airport the other day, and I was sitting there, and I just smelled something that was so delicious. It had tomatoes. It had onions. It was just so delicious, and I couldn't figure out what it is. And I turned around, and this kid was eating a pizza, and I just was going, oh, my gosh, I want a piece. So I don't care.
My question would be also, so every pizzeria, they put on different amounts of toppings. They have all of these combinations. If they have to list the calorie counts for every single possible combination
of
pizza.
Well, Chipotle does. So they have to put a range, right?
Right.
Yeah, they could put a range, I suppose.
Okay. Range, I would be okay with, but I don't, you know, how otherwise?
Sumaya would not, it
so,
looks like.
So, no. You know, they could say up to a million calories.
Right.
It's just too much ado about pizza.
All right. Let's not talk about pizza then at 9:20 in the morning. Let's talk about something more serious. Facebook is again having to reevaluate its policies after a man in Cleveland uploaded video of him shooting and killing another elderly man. Facebook Live has provided a platform for police shootings, rape, torture, a disturbingly large number of suicides. Should there be more restrictions on live video, or is it basically viewer beware?
This is a really difficult moral quandary.
Yeah.
It's like, we live in a world where almost every single person today essentially has a television production studio in their pocket. And I'm very much a First Amendment absolutist, and I'm not sure, well, I am sure that Facebook could probably use its technology to make it possible for such an event never to be aired live. But if they had to go far enough to do that, what kinds of speech would be limited? It's a really tough thing to figure out. And I haven't made up my mind about.
But it sounds
where
like
I
you're leaning toward viewer beware.
I always lean toward viewer beware.
I'm definitely, I think, on the other end. It's really, really creepy to have the ability to broadcast anything at any moment with no checks whatsoever. You know, we're not television producers, and there's a reason that they give licenses out to broadcast stuff. I think if Facebook is going to keep it, then they have to be able to follow up, or they got to be held accountable also for the things that they are broadcasting in the same way that any other broadcaster would be held responsible for if they put this kind of stuff on their air.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. I think it's really needs to be some checks there. There are a wide gamut of people on Facebook, young kids on there, seeing gruesome things. So I think there needs to be some checks in terms of Facebook and not allowing everything just to be broadcast.
Now, in some cases, the video that's been brought up on Facebook has led to social justice movements.
Exactly. That's why this is such a tough scale to figure out where the proper balance is, because, you know, Facebook has enabled social movements, political movements, you know, it enables citizens to do things, citizens who use it well, it enables them to do things that they would never before have been able to do.
I wouldn't be against some kind of check where there's a time delay, something along those lines, where there's just something there. You know, I get the magic of happening in real time. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to do that, and fine, they can make that choice, I think then everybody needs to be aware and accept the consequences. There has to be some way where it can't just float out there and nothing ever happens. That's the part that really
bothers me. Especially problematic when video starts automatically without you clicking on it, right?
Yes.
I mean,
that is true.
I definitely turned that setting off just because autoplay videos in general are just a terrible invention. I mean, in any context, autoplay is just terrible.
But. Yeah, it's very upsetting when you're trying to do a news article. And
yeah.
That. Okay. Well, we definitely want to get our listeners' views on that. You can call in and let us know your thoughts at 404-500-9457. You can tweet us. We are, of course, on Twitter. It's at OST Talk. It is Friday. We're hanging out in the break room, and we're going to wonder in just a couple minutes whether we will ever see Bill O'Reilly on TV again. And do you know, we might soon find ourselves out of plumbers. I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. We continue our conversation in the break room, as we do every Friday. We're going to talk about what's next for Bill O'Reilly and the expansion of Atlanta's Bike Share program. My guests are Chuck Reese, editor of The Bitter Southerner, Sumaya Khalifa, executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta, and Robbie Medwed, Atlanta-based LGBT educator and activist. We want to say thank you, as always, to Savannah Coffee Roasters. They donate the coffee that fuels our break room guests this morning. You can find them online at savannahcoffee.com. They've chosen to be supporters of this show, of GPB, and of public radio. So let's talk about this piece in The New Yorker. And first of all, I got to say there's a shout out to The Bitter Southerner, Chuck, in this.
I was so happy just to see our name in The New Yorker.
And you, although they just refer to you as the editor.
Yeah, well, that's okay with me. That's
fine. The nameless
fine.
Editor.
As long as people read The Bitter Southerner and realize that, like, you guys were having a pledge drive this week, and they should go to bittersoutherner.com and join.
Nice plug. Okay, so this piece in The New Yorker calls barbecue America's most political food, and the author argues that barbecue has its roots in racism and discrimination. So here's the question. Can food really be political?
Food is always political.
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah.
Food is always political.
All of you agree that food is political.
Yeah. I mean, you know, politics arise from culture.
Yes.
And so much of any community or nation's culture arises from its foodways over time. They determine how we behave together. They determine how we build our economy so we can feed people. Food's always political. But that piece in The New Yorker, like many pieces in The New Yorker that have attempted to look at something in the South, painted with a really broad brush. You know, Maurice Bessinger is a special case. There's no such thing as racist barbecue, but there is such a thing as racists who barbecue.
Well, Maurice Bessinger of South Carolina, known quite well for the string of barbecue restaurants that they had there, many of which, there's not a whole lot of them left. But why do you say, Robbie, that...
I think it comes down to who's cooking it and how they're presenting it. You know, if we look back about 2 years ago when we had the white chef taco craze, you know, we had all of these folks who are pushing a culture that they really aren't from and not doing it always authentically. And if we look back at barbecue and who in the past was actually cooking that food and where it was being served, it was often cooked by the slaves using traditions brought from Africa, but being capitalized on by the white folks and the owners and all that kind of stuff. So it was taking someone else's work and trying to rebrand the heritage of where the food came from and what was going on when it came here and how it became famous.
Well, that article was a big aha moment for me. I usually really enjoyed the Texas barbecue because that's where I grew up. And reading that story opened up my eyes about how political food can be. And it was a big aha moment for me.
We obviously always want to get our listeners' views on that. I bet our listeners have some ideas on whether barbecue is racist or not. You can call
barbecue is not racist.
Just the barbecuers.
Well, and not all the barbecuers. I mean, I don't do anything all day long but look at the culture of the South.
Yeah.
And the cooking of barbecue is just as indelibly imprinted on black culture as it is in white, you know, in the South. It's you know, but, it, you know, the Bessinger family, it's just, it's weird. It's like if Lester Maddox, after he closed his restaurant in Georgia, like all four of his kids had tried to go into the fried chicken business. It was just a weird case.
And there's, you know, whenever Lester Maddox's voice is around in racism, I mean, there's, you know.
Well, let's go into another situation which is possibly complicated. Bill O'Reilly has been fired by Fox News. Is he done, or will someone be willing to hire him despite sexual harassment claims spanning decades?
Even in the midst of scandal, O'Reilly was pulling in audiences. He even got a boost out of this, if you can believe it. And so Fox has a big, big hole to fill.
All right, what do we think? Is this the end of Bill O'Reilly?
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, if it's not the end, what messages are we sending to everybody else? It's okay to do that kind of behavior and be rewarded for it. This is absolutely atrocious.
Those are the messages we've been sending for decades, though. He just got double what they paid to the victims. He got a full year's salary. And this happens time and time again. I mean, as much as I want him to disappear forever.
Yes.
But I really would not be shocked if he got hired and picked up sometime this week by someone else.
But I think it's up to people and to sponsors to shy away from him, because it's not a good thing.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, the one thing to be happy about in all this is that consumers, when they organize, can change things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you don't often see the kind of organization and mobilization that you see these days, thanks to, you know, so many different groups.
So it's fantastic that people organized and sponsors pulled away. And the only thing that makes me sad about that is that if they hadn't, nobody would have said anything, and it wouldn't be just that his behavior was bad and they didn't want him on staff because it was bad. They didn't want him on staff because he became a liability for them with advertisers and with money. And I understand that that's how the world works, but that makes me very sad.
Me too. And where's our moral compass? Does money talk louder than our moral compass?
Well, Fox News, it absolutely does.
Come on now. You're trying to say that at other networks, money doesn't...
Oh, no, it does. It does, absolutely.
I mean, it
money talks.
Money absolutely talks.
It always has.
Yes.
Last question. We only have like a rapid fire answers to this one. They're trying to expand the bike share program in Atlanta. Do you feel safe riding the streets on a bicycle? Sumaya?
I'm not good on a bicycle, so no.
Absolutely, and I do.
Absolutely, and I've been doing it for years.
There you go. Let us know if you feel safe riding a bicycle in Atlanta. In the meantime, we're going to take a short break. It's Friday. We're hanging out in the break room. We're going to talk about a potential shortage of plumbers in just a moment. But just a quick reminder, On Second Thought is possible because of people like you. That is the literal truth. It doesn't matter how much you give to GPB and to On Second Thought. What matters is that you value the programming enough to become a supporter. And it only takes a couple minutes of your time. So choose a dollar amount and make a call or go to the website. It's really easy. It's really quick. Here's how. This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley, and we continue our conversation in the break room. We do it every Friday. We're going to talk about good and bad customer service, a Florida senator maybe in hot water. Our guest today, Robbie Medwed, Atlanta-based LGBT educator and activist, Sumaya Khalifa, executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta, and Chuck Reese, who's editor of The Bitter Southerner, going through its own fun drive now, just like our spring fun drive. See how
you.
I worked that in there?
I appreciate that.
The sculptor of the iconic charging bull on Wall Street wants the fearless girl statue to come down. New York's mayor says men who don't like women taking up space are exactly why we need the fearless girl. But the sculptor says the bull was guerrilla art. The girl, on the other hand, was commissioned by an investment firm, and it changes the meaning of his sculpture. So first, here's the artist Kristen Visbal speaking about the statue.
Bottom line is, she says women are strong. Women are here.
She created the Fearless Girl statue, and here's Arthur Piccolo, who's a spokesperson for the Changing Bull artist, Arturo Di Morica.
They are transforming illegally the message of the bull. Now, this girl is confronting this, supposedly that looks from a monstrous figure. That's an outrage. To take a great work of art and transform it.
Okay, so it's not illegal to change the work of art, the meaning of the chain. But does he have a point?
So I feel like when you put art into the world, you cannot control how the people see it, how people react to it, all of those things. We know this is a temporary installation, so maybe he should calm down. Although I'm not...
It might be staying up, though. New Yorkers like
it. Well, so his installation also wasn't ever supposed to stay up. In the middle of the night, he dropped his bull there and got in trouble. And then, didn't even mean it like that, wasn't even going there.
Okay, we're going to move on.
Yeah, he dropped his sculpture there on the street.
Right.
And he actually got in trouble. It got in legal trouble, and it had to disappear, and then it came back. But he actually still owns it.
Yes,
it's not even
does.
Owned by the city. But I will say, the girl statue was done by a corporation, a pretty big corporation.
Right, to support the Women's March.
Right. And for them to profit off of it also. So there is that element of it, but I really just love that everybody is upset with everybody over this, because finally we're talking about art and engaging with art and what's the deeper symbolism and what's it mean and what do we stand for. So I think we're winning either way.
Sumaya?
Fearless Girl stays. Very inspiring, very empowering. Yes.
Okay. Chuck?
I agree wholeheartedly with both my esteemed colleagues.
Well, there's too much agreement here. We need to find something you disagree on. How about sexy plumbing? There's a shortage of skilled tradesmen in the United States. So we are fast approaching a time when there just will not be enough appliance repair people and plumbers and carpenters to fix all the stuff that breaks. Can we make plumbing sexy?
Was that a plumber?
No, Ma, no. It was a little girl selling Girl Scout toilets.
Plumber get away?
We don't need him.
Like hell, I'm going after him.
So plumbers, I guess, have always been treasured. But what do we do about this? One of the suggestions was that we try to make these jobs sexier, more glam. No, you're already shaking your head.
No, I don't love the premise of the question, because when are plumbers not sexy? I mean, especially when they're bending down and
okay.
fixing something. Like,
we're
come
going
on,
somewhere bad.
No, but in actuality, I think we really do need to focus on blue-collar technical jobs and those kind of things. I mean, we, for so long, have put a premium on going to college and being, academic, that we lost sight of the fact that we need these incredibly important people just to keep society running.
Yeah.
And, you know, we undervalue all of those jobs way too much.
Go ahead, Submit.
Well, I think there needs to be a paradigm shift in our culture. If somebody goes out and wants to date somebody and they find out that they're a plumber versus a doctor, which one would they pick? This is a mindset that we have in the culture that we live in.
Maybe that would depend on if they had health insurance or not.
Yeah.
Chuck?
No, I mean, you know, we used to live, you were talking about the way we value these jobs in society, and we really did, you know, in the middle of the last century. Those jobs were valued by society.
Absolutely.
You know, and you're right, there does need to be a cultural shift about that. In terms of making plumbers sexier, I'm an unusual case, because my wife is an extraordinarily handy person, and so when the toilet breaks, I have no idea what to do, but she knows exactly what to do. So there's already a sexy plumber in my house.
All right. We only have, you guys are going to get maybe 10 seconds to answer this rapid fire question about good customer service. Southwest Airlines got trolled with a complaint, and they responded very perfectly. They were pranked with a fake complaint that followed with a photo of Britney Spears in a flight attendant uniform from her video, and Southwest responded, oops, she did it again. So the question is, in 10 or 20 seconds, what was the last great customer service experience you had? Sumaya?
I had an excellent experience with Delta, where the customer service rep was with me for 2 hours to resolve an issue, and
nice.
She resolved it. Great.
Nice. Robbie?
When I called GPB to make my donation, obviously.
Ooh. Oh, well, yeah. See, there you go.
Absolutely.
There's the nice little plug. And Chuck?
The Apple Store.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Really? That is unusual. I don't hear that often.
My experience there has generally been pretty good. You kind of have to learn how to work the system
I guess so.
But, you know, once you get a person, it's all about what Sumaya said. When you have a person in a customer service operation who is willing to, as they say in the corporate world, take ownership of the customer's problem and actually help solve it.
Yeah.
When
makes
that
all
happens,
the difference. in the world. Mine is the IRS, actually, who I've had opportunities to call many times and never had not a nice person. Always been helpful and wonderful. Wow. Thank you, IRS. And thank you to my guests, Chuck Reese, editor of The Bitter Southerner, Sumaya Khalifa of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta, and Robbie Medwed, Atlanta-based LGBT educator and activist. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
And thank you to all the listeners who have already either called or gone to the website to support this show. You're so important to me. You're so important to the show. You're so important to Georgia because you help support bringing the kind of news that is heard nowhere else and the voices that are heard nowhere else. If you haven't done it yet, it only takes a second. Here's how you do it.